is coming. Between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There's a star spangled down a wave in somewhere. In a distant land so many miles away.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop. I love to give the girls a...
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. Right, and here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. The 21st of January. Month is winding down pretty quick. Let me move over here and find out what the, hang on a second, I got more things going here than I can do. So let me go here and find out what the chat room looks like and see if we're getting sound before I make too much noise here. All right, let me see. Still got too many things going on, but I'm trying. Hang on, I'm just about there. All right, let's see. Copper joined us tonight, and Nan's in there, and NM Glock, Pumpkin Cat. And I'm assuming we got sound, so I'm going to wait just a minute till somebody lets me know what's going on with one of my sound advisors here. And then we'll move on. And Nan, if you're having trouble with your phone and your phone keyboard, I don't know if thank you everybody. We got all kinds of 5x5s going on there. But I don't know if you're having trouble with your phone keyboard because it's the keyboard's fault or you're trying to talk and text at the same time. I mean, listen and text at the same time. And that's hard to do on a phone. It can be done. So I don't know which problem you're having, but thank you, DeTinker. All right. Let's move on. We got a few stories. Then I've got some gun stuff I want to talk about a little bit. May not interest all of you. I know I kind of lose some of my girls when they start talking about guns, but others of them are interested in it. So hopefully we'll salvage everybody. Then I'm going to start with a very funny story. This was, where did this happen? I may have told you about this either already. No, I don't think so. Petersburg, Kentucky. Stop me if you've heard this one. Some kids built a huge 8-10 foot tall snowman. And they built it to save having to pack up a bunch of snow and roll this huge ball in place. They built it around a tree stump. And the bottom was probably 6 or 7 feet in diameter and about 4, 4.5, 5 feet tall. And it looks pretty good. And then some vandal thought he was going to be cute. I'm pretty sure it was a he, but thought he was going to be cute and come along and run his car into the snowman and knock it down. Well, evidently, he didn't watch him build it and didn't realize that this tree stump was under there. And from the looks of the tracks that I saw, the original picture, don't show them in the picture I'm looking at now, but in the original picture I saw, it appeared that that car was towed away. I don't know, the tracks may not have been that at all, but that's sure what it looked like. So the second picture of the snowman shows his bottom part of his body pretty much gone, but all the rest of it's still standing on the tree stump. So I thought that was pretty cute. Let's see. I don't know what kind of weather you guys are having where you're at in different parts of the country, but we're going from one extreme to another. We were about 60 degrees yesterday, or real close to it. And it got a little chilly last night, and in the night the wind started blowing. My word, it started blowing. And never did get too warm. Well, actually it did get pretty warm today. It's just that cold wind made it seem like it wasn't. It got up into the 40s. So it wasn't bad. But as long as you could get out of the wind. And we got a couple of cold nights coming, but the days are not looking bad. We haven't got any snow coming anytime soon, so that's both good and bad. I'm not a big fan of having to deal with the snow every day. But anyway, let's see. You know, here, what was it, two weeks ago maybe, talked about a guy in right here in Phoenix that had wound up shooting four people. If I'm not mistaken, one of them died and wounded three more. And that was one of the most awesome stories that I've had in a while. Well, it just so happens that another one came along. This is just, 2 weeks later or whatever it is, in Houston, Texas. And then four guys broke into a house there in Houston and found out the homeowner was there with a firearm and ready and started shooting. He killed three of them. One of them was found dead at the front of the house. Two of them took off in an SUV, and the last one, the wounded, took off on foot. And they were able to find the one that took off on foot, and he was shot in the leg, so that wasn't too bad. And the vehicle that left the scene was found crashed into a pole. A man was found dead inside, and the other person looks like he got out and run, was found down the street just a little ways and died. So there you have it. That was, it's getting to a level now. I'm going to tell you this one more time. We talked about it, I don't know, maybe a month ago. And, we talked about it more than once, actually. But I talked about in my classes, I've quit stressing the home invasion part of it, where the generally, you know, a five-shot revolver used to probably be about enough, but it's gotten to the point now where more in defense of liberty than in defense of home and family, and we're having multiple assailants. And I know you guys heard this sound like a broken record, but I just want to stress this. We're just in that time in history, and we're seeing two, three, four assailants at a time in these home invasions and in convenience stores and whatnot. So take that into consideration when you choose your carry weapon and how much ammunition you carry and all that. And that's the copper's right. That provided a perfect argument for high-capacity magazines. And more than one. It's not a bad idea. Not necessarily that you'll use up all 12, 15 rounds of ammo in one shooting, but there's always that possibility of an ammunition malfunction, a magazine malfunction, something have dropped in the magazine and fallen down a storm drain, or, you know, whatever the case may be. There is no excuse whatsoever not to carry a reload with your carry gun, whatever in the world it may be. Always carry at least one reload. You just never know what's going to happen. It's not all about where, you know, people, well, if you can't get the bad guy down in five shots, then you need to practice more. Well, that's not what it's about. I can tell you, and you've heard a lot of them already, many stories about people that have been forced to shoot, 6, 8, 10, 12 times or whatever. One of the most ones that really sticks out in my mind was the lady down in Georgia. Had her kids with her, and she'd done everything she could do. She was so in the right. And she had climbed up in the attic. If you'll remember, we talked about this a couple of times. It was several years ago. But she climbed up in the attic, and the bad guy climbed up the ladder and stuck his head up through there, and she had a revolver, and she blasted away, shot six times, hit him five, all in the upper chest and the face. He fell down the ladder. And went and got in his truck and drove away and drove, if I recall, about 300 yards and crashed. And I don't remember if he died or not. But the point was, she didn't have a reload. If he'd have been so inclined, drunk on drugs or whatever, he may have climbed right back up that ladder. And the length of time that it took him to run outside, get in the truck, back it out of the driveway or whatever it was that he had to do and drive down the road 300 yards, he could have just as easy climbed up that ladder if he'd have had a weapon and shot that woman or her kids or all of them. So carry a reload. What's Mountain Shooter talking about? 6.5 is good for accuracy, but if you need foot pounds on target 30. Yeah, and that's one of the things I may wind up talking about a little bit tonight is we've got a kind of a ballistics chart we've drew made up here for our prepper folks in the area that have many questions about what's best and what's strongest, what you should have, and all that. And so I've kind of made up a chart to help them out with some of those questions. So we'll see if we have time to do that. We'll get to it in a little bit. As a matter of fact, well, we've got this story here. I talked about this story I was going to last week, and something happened to the sound right at the end, and we managed to get all of the show in except for a few minutes. And this was the one that you guys didn't hear. I don't think you may have heard the first few words, but you didn't hear much of it. I thought this was an interesting story, and those folks that are, how shall we say, not in the majority, like in the minority, may consider this a very racist story. But it is a factual story. And while race does have something to do with it, it's not about a... Well, let me just tell you the story and you guys decide. So I think I got started. You may have heard the first little bit here, but I'll say it again. California overall, when we look at, you know, these studies come out, these surveys every year about the states that have the highest crime rates and homicide rates and all of this. And oddly enough, California usually comes in pretty low, comparatively speaking. Los Angeles is high, San Francisco is high, San Diego is high. But overall, the state is not very high. There's a couple of things that contribute to that. One of them is the overall size of the state. Now, Northern California is not nearly as populated as Southern California. So there's a whole lot of area there that just nothing goes on. Also, the different class of people lives in Northern California than in Southern. That's why if it would be cut in half, I wouldn't half be opposed to going out there. If they just slice it in half right about Sacramento and get a new government and everything in the northern half, it wouldn't be a half bad place to live. But I don't see that happening. So anyway, why is it that the state itself has so much of a lower homicide rate? And they like to attribute the low murder rate to the gun laws. Well, that's not it. You know, the anti-gun people, see, our gun laws work, our murder rate's lower. That's not it. The single biggest thing in California that keeps the murder rate down year after year has everything to do with race. Primarily, it's the percentage of blacks in the state. And I know a lot of people will be jumping up and down, pulling their hair and screaming and hollering. And, well, it's a well-documented fact across the nation, and has been for a long time, that on the average, blacks commit murders at a rate 4 times higher than their percent of the population. Most of these deaths are with guns, and the overwhelming majority of them are committed with illegal firearms. In the United States, overall, blacks constitute 12.6% of the population. In California, blacks only constitute 5.9% of the state's population. So there's a big part of it right there, but that's not all. When you consider the black population of the other 49 states, taking California out of it, then on average, blacks make up 13.5 of those states' population. So if you divide it up equally, is what they're saying, each state could have a population of 13.5% black. And California by itself is 5.9%. Now, you wouldn't think that when you drive into Watts and some of those areas, but again, take the overall size of the state into account. And, you know, there's a few huge cities there, but look at the whole northern half of the state, even in the southern half. Look how much of it is uninhabited desert and military bases and military, what do you call it? Well, a base, I guess, is when you look at how big 29 Palms is and how big Fort Irwin is and how big Pendleton and some of these other bases out there, they cover a lot of real estate. So when you look at the populated area, it's really not that, not really that much. So compared to most states, not surprising that California's death rate is a little bit lower, but not that much lower. Stay with me. There's more to this. Looking at the 2017 murders, 27 states have a higher murder rate than California. 22 states are lower. So it's basically right in the middle there somewhere. What jumps out at you here is the low murder rate states is a low percentage of blacks in all of these states. There's a chart here you can go to and look at the homicide rates of each state and look at the states that look at Wyoming. Now, it's low population to start with, but there's like, you know, 15 black people in the whole state of Wyoming. I don't know if that's true or not, but I knew when I was up there, you didn't see black people very often. So it gets worse when you look at the male murder rate, white versus black. In 2013, now I can only guess that it's probably gotten, you know, comparatively worse. It has everywhere else in the country between 2013 and now. That was, you know, 6 years ago. So you find that the male murder rate is 4.7 per 100. In the way, let me back up. You find that the white male murder rate is 4.7 per 100,000. The black male murder rate is 33.0. That is almost, let's see, seven times, or that's roughly seven times. Black males average roughly seven times more likely to commit murder than white males. And if you, since the Ferguson effect, it has, the black murder rate has risen significantly, but they don't have the figures on this right away. There's a chart that shows it. But now, one more thing. This was the rest of the story. The Asian population. They average, on average, they have the lowest murder rate of any race, the Asians. Whites commit murder at almost three times that of Asians. And the black murder rate is over 20 times higher than the Asian murder rate. So California has the second highest percent of Asians of any state except Hawaii. It is 14.9% Asian. U.S. average, including California, is 5.6%. The average of just the other 49 states, not including California, is 4.3%. So California has 3.5%, or 3.5 times higher percentage of Asians than is found in the other 49 states on average. So the relatively low murder rate, not the result of gun control, primarily to the state's small black population and large Asian population. A lot of people may take exception to that. But here's some statistics that you can look up. The percentage of individuals in each racial demographic arrested for murder in 2013 with 2016 population estimates. Let's see, remember this 2013? 0.0102% of black or African American population. Let's see what this is here. Okay, 4,379 out of 42,975,959. I'm not going to read all of these. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 7 of these statistics here. But so, and the author says, is it racist to point these out? Well, most people are going to think, yeah. But facts are facts, and they're stubborn things, and pesky. But these facts here are, this is what makes the liberals the maddest, is the fact that it's fact. Fact is fact. It says, indeed, think that it's racist to not recognize, or this guy thinks it's racist to not recognize the high murder rate by blacks. And that's the truth. Has anybody ever thought about that? When you don't acknowledge the fact that a certain race, whatever that race may be, is not, when you're not attributing the, Not giving them credit where credit's due, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But says to not face this problem head on for politically correct reasons translates into an acceptance of the continuing slaughter of black men, women, and children. Blacks, thank your friendly black civil rights leaders. He says, I do not accept this ongoing black murder epidemic. I think it's an avoidable tragedy. That needs to be confronted and addressed, especially within the black community. So I'm the racist? Not really. After this guy finished this article, he came across an article by Bill Whittle. I love Bill Whittle. He's got some awesome videos out there. He came across this YouTube video by Bill Whittle, and it makes different points than his article. And does it well. He discusses our nation's very high gun ownership rate and surprisingly low murder rate. It's exceptionally well done. I'm going to post this video for you in the chat room, and you can watch it at your leisure if you'd like. Let's see if I can do this here. There we go. I'm going to run back over here to the chat room and see if I can post this in here. Naturally. Never fails. Let's try it again. There we go. Alright, that video should. Let's see if it plays. Let's try it again. It's not the first time I've had this problem. Try this one more time, and then maybe we'll go to a break. There you go. That one will play. I don't know if the first one will, but I do know that the second one will. So there you have it. All right, well, I'm going to take a little break here if I can get all my stuff together. And I think what we'll do here is play a song or two during the break here. If I can find what I'm looking for. Never fails. Yeah, this one will do. All right, I'll be back in a little bit.
I'll be back.
I saw the light. I've been baptized by the fire in your touch and the flame in your eyes. I'm born to love again. I'm a brand new about the line I'm walking.
that leads right to your door. Oh, how I used to roam. I was a rolling stone. I used to have a wild side. They say a country mile wide. I'd burn those beer joints down. That's all changed now. You turned my life around. Oh, I saw the light. I've been baptized by the fire in your touch and the flame in your eyes. I'm born to love again. I'm a brand new man. I used to love them and leave them. Oh, I'd brag about my freedom, how no one could tie me down. Then I met you. Now my heart beats true. Baby, you and me together feels more like forever than anything I've ever known. We're right on track. I ain't looking back. Yeah, I saw the light. I've been baptized by the fire in your touch and the flame in your eyes. I'm born to love again.
Is John Q. Public, and I am a member in good standing of an organization called America, and I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is... There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable, either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here. But since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. A dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and instead of your brave sniper finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we, the people, will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple, but this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience. Do what you know in your heart is right. For we, the people, will hold you accountable. Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. Okay, we're back. We're trying to, we have some technical problems here. I was just shown a story. I can't read a whole bunch of it because it's pretty foul in spots. But Amy just showed me this story. This is, I hadn't planned on talking about this, and because I don't give a damn about football one way or the other. It means absolutely nothing to me. But if any of you have been keeping track of this, the liberals now are going nuts over this Patriot win. Now, everybody should be going nuts over it. I'm not a football fan, but they were at, I'm not sure at what point in the game, the Patriots were trailing the Falcons by a score of 28-3. They had a 1%, less than a 1% chance of coming back and winning. And the liberal, now I don't want, Like I said, I don't like football. I don't care about it. But why can't you watch football without bringing Trump into it? Why does it have to be a right, left, conservative, liberal, political thing to watch a football game? I just don't like football. I don't like anything about it. But I do recognize the fact that millions of Americans do, and I do recognize the fact that coming back from a 28 to 3 score and winning is a significant event, is a significant feat, no doubt about it. Less than a 1% chance they had. So when what they consider the greatest quarterback of all time brought the Patriots back from a 25-point trail, the liberals lost it. Suddenly the Patriots, now their victory was the fault of white supremacy. I know I didn't make this up and I didn't write it. That's just what's on the damn thing, okay? And there's some Twitter, what do you call them, tweets here. Let's see if I can find one that's clean enough to read. Here's one, white supremacy, winning the Super Bowl is terrible, but it's not as on the same level as white supremacy winning the White House. There's another one. Let me check it out here. Okay. Anyway, this is just like election night. White supremacy knows no end. This game is like the election. When you think there's no way white supremacy can win, it sneaks up on you in the end and shocks you. I hate seeing white people happy. I'm so annoyed. Only white people can win in Trump's America. Racist white people are literally winning in 2017. Now, what does 2017 have to do with it? I can't read that one. Anyway, it says even if you're not a Patriots fan, at least seeing the liberals cry, gotta be happy for you. So. Quite a deal. This is, yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. I have no intention of watching the Super Bowl, but we'll obviously hear the results of it. Quite a deal there. And, man, I know everything is the fault of white supremacy, except the murder rate in California. No. Okay, well, anyway. All right, there's a deal here that... let's see if I can blow this up just a little bit. I mean, not literally. Don't call. There we go. This will not mean much to some of you. I wrote this up for people to get a comparison of a number of different things here. There's several things that we can do to dispel some myths and surprise a few people. Now, some of you hardcore gun folks will not find this terribly interesting. But I compared some of the most popular militia calibers. Everybody knows that's .308, 7.62 to 39, and .223. And how they do at longer range, both with energy and how much they drop. Now, we've talked a little bit about this drop thing before. Drop meaning to you non-gun people is how much that bullet falls over a certain distance. You know, gravity gets a hold of the bullet and it pulls it down eventually to the earth. No matter how, at what attitude you shoot it, eventually it's going to hit the ground or the water or whatever you're doing. So, gravity starts pulling on that bullet the instant that it leaves the barrel. It starts falling, which is why you have to have the barrel in a slightly upwards attitude depending on what range you're shooting, because the bullet starts, gravity starts pulling the bullet down. So it's not surprising too much to know that, okay, you're most of my rifles are sighted in at a 200-yard zero. It means their point of impact, point of aim is the same at 200 yards. I do that for a reason, so that all of my guns are the same. I pick up any of them, and we'll get to that in just a second.
almost turned the lights off there. If you take, I considered a 150 grain full metal jacket. Oh, I can see a mistake that I made right now. I forgot to change over one thing. Okay, I considered a 150 grain full metal jacket, which is about a the same as a service load NATO round, and also a 165 grain national match hollow point. And this is more of a what a sniper would use, and not necessarily a NATO round, but it's a very popular. Federal Premium is the brand that I used. And I just wanted to kind of show a comparison here. I talked about this a long, long time ago, before I even came to Arizona, about the 165 grain boat tail eventually overcoming the 150 grain bullet, even though the 150 grain bullet started out faster. The 150 grain flat base bullet. But anyway, zeroed in at 200 yards. At 100, there's not a whole lot of difference. It's about 1.8 inch drop for the 150 grain bullet and 2 inch drop for the 165 grain bullet. Not a whole lot of difference even out at 300. 7.5 inches compared to 8.3. Now at 400, it's starting to show a little more. There's exactly 2 inches difference here.
What do you want, Muffy?
And the farther out there it gets, if we look at 1,000 yards, now this is one of my favorite things to do, is to ask these loud mouths out there, whether it's the guy at the barber shop or the guy at the gun shop or the militia campfire or whatever. If you were to see a deer out there, an elk at 1,000 yards with your gun the way it's sighted in, how high over him would you aim in order to make that shot? And overwhelmingly, most people say right up at the top of his back or just over his back a little bit or something. So obviously, they're either just flat out lying and making it up, or they're just, somebody has told them that and they believed it, and they're not lying necessarily, but they're not factual with it. Because at 1,000 yards, you're looking at nearly 30 feet difference. If your gun is sighted in at 200 yards, you're going to be 26 feet over the target. Now, I'm talking, I understand about adjusting the scope, okay? And ideally, if you're going to make a good hit at 1,000 yards, you're definitely going to need a scope that you can dial in and put the crosshairs on the target at 1,000 yards to make the hit. That doesn't change the fact that the bullet is going to hit 26.2 feet low if you aim right at it with a 200-yard zero. Does that make sense to you? You understand what I'm trying to say? So, and with the 165 grain bullet, it is 27.3. There's less than a foot difference between them at 1,000 yards. Let me turn this noise off here so you guys don't have to listen to it. There we go. Sorry about that. So these guys that tell you that 10 feet over their back or 5 feet or whatever the case may be, it is nearly 30 feet. If you're talking about something like a 30-30, or let's say the 7.62 by 39, you're looking at a total of 695.6 inches. That translates out to about 58 feet. 58 feet over their back. 58 feet over the target if you're going to try to make this shot. If you look at your SKS or your AK-47, several of these other similar guns, the rear sight is what they call a ladder. Well, it's not a ladder sight, actually. But anyway, you've got an adjustment on there to raise that up to 1,000 meters. And when you do that and line the sights up, the butt of the rifle is nearly under your arm because you've got to raise the barrel up so high. And so let's back up. No, let's don't back up. Let's go ahead and go look at the 223, the 5.56 NATO. And I used the two most popular bullets for that, the older 55 grain bullet and the newer 62 grain bullet. Now there's quite a bit of difference in velocity of these two bullets. That one of them a little over 3,200 feet and the other one a little over 28, depending on barrel length. And people have to understand that when you look at these figures, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of variables. Everything from the amount of wear in the barrel, the humidity, the barometric pressure, the elevation, whether it's, you know, high noon or after dark. I mean, there's just so many things that affect this, the way this bullet flies. But the 223, as flat as it shoots, is actually not as flat as the 308, at least in the, it's almost exactly the same with the 55 grain bullet. Now remember, this is also sighted in at 200 yards. 26.5 compared to 26.2. The 62 grain bullet, believe it or not, 32.5 feet at 1,000 yards. So if we go back up here a little ways and look at the energy of the num, I'm going to use foot pounds of energy because that's what you see in your reloading books and all your magazines and stuff. This formula is grossly flawed. I don't like it. And it's not, the only thing it helps you to do reasonably accurately is compare two bullets of the same diameter and the energy that it puts out. But it is horribly flawed as to how that bullet actually, the impact that it actually has. And one of the greatest things that people say is, you know, if that, let's say you're shooting the 40 Smith & Wesson at 100 yards. And people say, well, you know, a handgun that far or 100 or 200 yards probably wouldn't have that much effect on, you know, and they laugh at it because they don't have any idea what kind of energy is still available out there. When you look at the weight of these bullets and the diameter, the 40 Smith & Wesson at 100 yards actually has more energy than the 308 at 1,000 yards. If you use a different formula than this grossly flawed foot-pounds of energy thing. We can spend a whole show on this real easy sometime if anybody's interested in that. But and the same with the 223. Most of your handguns, even not nearly so far out, have much more energy than the 223. The difference is the bullet performance. If you take a, let's just say a hollow point in a full metal jacket fired at the same speed, same caliber, same everything into the same zombie, then obviously the hollow point is going to do a whole lot more damage, even though they're hitting at the same impact, the same. So the energy thing is not that critical. You're not trying to knock them down. You're trying to cause enough blood loss to stop them from bothering you. And the hollow point had a better chance of doing that. The farther away it gets, the less likely the hollow point is to work as well. At 1,000 yards away, the hollow point's probably not going to do nearly the damage as it would at 100 yards away. There's just so many variables here. So the reason I made this to start with, if you were hunting zombies, or zombies were hunting you, and you're trying to stop them from hunting you, then this just kind of gives you an idea of what each of these calibers does at different range. Obviously, you can look all this stuff up on the internet. You can look it up. You know, you got books and stuff. But I put this on a single sheet of paper that you can laminate or fold up and put in your wallet or with your hunting gear or whatever, and have a quick reference to as to what your particular gun might do. All calibers are not on here. The 308, 223, and 7.62 by 39. 7.62 by 39, going to be relatively close to a 30-30. Although the 7.62 by 39 will outrun the 30-30 because of the pointed bullet, and most of your 30-30s are round nose or flat nose bullets. So the 7.62 by 39 will absolutely outrun it after a couple hundred yards, pretty easy. The 308, easily to compare to 30-06, 270, 7mm Magnum. Is it less powerful than some of those? Yes, it is. But when you look at the trajectory, as far as hitting a man-sized target, a zombie target, these figures will put you on a humanoid-sized, shaped target. If you want to shoot the heads off of prairie dogs at 400 yards, this is not good enough. But if you're trying to get to stop zombies from following you, this will give you a very, very quick, easy reference with a whole bunch of, a whole wide range of calibers and give you an idea as to what it is you're trying to do here. So it would probably have more of an impact on you if you were to actually see this and go over it, you know. Be able to look at it and compare, but I just thought I'd throw this in there tonight just because it's my show and that's what I wanted to do. So, there you have it. That was no NM Glock 6.5s actually for people with man buns. That's what 6.5s are for. Doc. Yeah, Mountain Shooter, I probably could mention point blank range in there pretty easy. But I'll have to say, Doc, there's, most people should not be shooting animals at 1,000 yards, I agree. But I know a couple of them right here in the Sholo that routinely, they're set up for it, they practice it. I shot the one guy's gun and shot a 3.75, around 3-inch group at 986 yards. And this gun had plenty of energy when it got there. No, most people should not be shooting at animals at 1,000 yards. I 100% agree. But it can be done. It can be done well. It can be done humanely and effectively. And with surgical precision, but not by the average guy in a beer joint with a Winchester 30-30 and a Tasco scope, I can tell you that. So, let's see here. All right. The NM Glock, that depends on the type of lever action gun. NM Glock says pointed bullets work well in bolt action rifles. They can be used in a lever gun. If you use a lever gun, load only 2 rounds. Period, end of discussion. That's not quite the end of discussion. That's only true for tubular magazines. When you take some of those, the Savage 99, you could use pointed bullets. The Browning BLR, you can use pointed bullets safely. So be sure and throw the tubular magazine part in there, and I would agree with you. Let's see. NM Glock, you're absolutely right. Most people probably shouldn't even be shooting game at 100 yards. I'd have to agree with you. Sadly, I would have to agree with you. Because there's a whole lot of people out there that can't hit a damn 5-gallon bucket at 100 yards, much less the kill zone of a big game animal. And that's a sad state. You know, there's another story. Dang, I wanted to do that tonight, too, and I forgot. Wednesday night, I have another story for you. And it has to do with this very thing that we're discussing right now. So don't let me forget that. I'm going to put it up here on the computer right now. And we'll discuss that for sure. I'm going to get it all lined up here where I can get that done for you. Okay, well, I'm going to get on out of here. We're running over just a little bit, so in order not to mess up the Tinker's schedule here, well, I'm going to make haste and get by here. I will see you Wednesday. We've got several things lined up for you Wednesday. I hope will be somewhat interesting for you. And until then, I guess I'm going to hit the road, Jack. Good night.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No reconciliation.